Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to extend a special welcome to our visitors. We have a number of visitors with us, some from in town, some from out of town. I'd like to welcome all those that are watching on the live streaming, our regular members, but it's also nice to see that Chris and Rebecca Bruce are watching from Hawaii. They used to worship with us, and we're glad that you're watching. We see Sue and Travis Wheeler are watching. Warm welcome to them. Today, we want to look at a concept of selling out, the price of selling out. A lot of times, maybe you're put in a position where you have to question. Maybe you've sold out a friend before, sold out a family member. Maybe you've been sold out. Maybe somebody's done that to you. We've got Kennedy here. Kennedy has nothing to do with this story, but there was a bank teller. We'll make it a man. It has nothing to do with Kennedy. A bank teller that a guy comes up and offers him this proposition. I've got this scheme. We can make millions of dollars, but I need your help. What do I got to do? I will give you $1 million. $1 million. But I can't do it myself. I need you to give me the account number of one of your customers. I said, I can't do that. I could go to jail. I could lose my job. I mean, I don't want to go to jail. I'll give you $1 million. Well, what if they track it back? There's no way they can track you. I will take all the risk. There's no way they can track you. You just give me that account number of a certain individual. I will do all the work. It's worth millions. I'll give you $1 million. Thinking it over. Should I? Shouldn't I? $1 million? $1 million. Getting ready to do it. Okay. Getting ready to do it. And then the person that approached him, will you take $100 for it? $100? You'd say to me, well, you're still going to get your money. You know, I'll give you $100 for that information. And the bank teller looked at the person. What do you think I am, a common thief? And the person responded, that's already been established. We're just dickering on price now. Whether you sell out for $1 million or $100 or 10, or a dime, it's selling out. I want us to look at a few verses today dealing with this. In 1 John, we've looked at this verse a few times in different sermons. The Apostle John wrote, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Those are the three paths of sin. I cannot think of a single sin that wouldn't fall under one of those categories. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. They fall under that in some way. And these are things that we face every day. Every day. Look at the first one. The lust of the flesh. We living in Las Vegas, it's so bold, it's advertised. It's not just, you know, we can find the lust of the flesh in any city. Anywhere we go. Whether it's corn-fed Nebraska or Colorado, where you're going tomorrow, Daryl, or Las Vegas. In Las Vegas, it's just flat advertised. billboards about sex and drugs and alcohol, and I've got some categories up there that we don't necessarily think of. Food. Is there anything wrong with food? Not at all, unless you abuse it. Medicine is good, unless you abuse it. We can abuse food sometimes. Pleasure. If all you're seeking after is pleasure, that falls under lust of the flesh. I don't want to do anything that I don't want to do. Laziness. Is there anything wrong with maybe taking a day and just relaxing? That's good. But taking a life of just relaxing and never serving God, I don't see anywhere in the scriptures where we take a break from serving God. But anyway, I want to look at some examples of each of these categories. In Genesis, we see the account of Jacob and Esau. Esau sold out, sold his birthright. Why? Because he was hungry. He was hungry. And he gave up his birthright. Is there any of us that haven't been hungry? And I love that phrase I've been hearing lately. It sure is describes the way I get sometimes, hangry. You know, you're hungry, and it just you look at the world through different eyes. When you're hungry, well, anyway, here's a story of Jacob and Esau in Genesis chapter 25. It says, "Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary.' Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, 'Sell me your birthright as of this day.' And Esau said, 'Look, I am about to die. So what is this birthright to me?' Then Jacob said, 'Swear to me as of this day.' So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." He gave up his birthright. Why? Because he was hungry. The lust of the flesh. We all get hungry. I hope none of us would ever stoop so low as to sell our birthright. I'm glad Jesus faced the same thing when he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. He was hungry. I'm glad Jesus didn't sell his birthright.
Amen.
Because had he done that, had he listened to the devil and commanded those stones to become bread, he would have sold his birthright and wouldn't have had the authority to be the Savior of the world. Here we have an account, an example of the lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes, material possessions. Now, is possessions wrong? Are things wrong? Owning things wrong? Is having money wrong? No. Nowhere in the Bible does the scriptures teach that having things is wrong. Now, maybe how we go about it. You know, if we rob, steal, plunder, and all that, you know, and acquire things. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with seeing something and admiring it. There's a difference between seeing and admiring. maybe being inspired to, ooh, I really like that new truck you've got. Saving up to buy one. But when you start coveting, nothing wrong with looking and admiring something. A pretty house, a handsome man, a pretty woman. David coveted. He saw Bathsheba and he coveted her and sinned because of it. An example we have of the lust of the eyes is with Judas. Things that he wanted. In John, the 11th chapter, verse 57, it says, "Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a command that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it that they might seize him." The chief priests and scribes and Pharisees, they wanted to do away with Jesus. And they let it out there. If you know where Jesus is, let us know so we can seize him. So this was the setting. In Luke 26, says, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?' And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver." So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. He was seeking an opportunity. Why? For 30 pieces of silver. He was going to sell out his Savior, his friend, for 30 pieces of silver. Would it have mattered if it was 30,000 pieces of silver? Would it have mattered if it was 3 million pieces of silver? Would it have mattered if it was one piece of silver? In Matthew's account, it says, starting in verse 3 of chapter 27, "Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' And they said, 'What is that to us? You see to it.'" He was remorseful. He realized what he had done. That he had condemned an innocent man. And he goes back and tries to make amends. We say, "What's that to us? You see to it." Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. This verse has always made me sad for the sake of it's a shame he didn't do what Peter did, repent. He had so much to offer people. Judas had been traveling with Jesus, had known Jesus for 3 years. Was there during his ministry, witnessed the miracles, the healings, the raising of Lazarus. He had all the same experiences that the Apostle John did, the Apostle Peter. Peter stumbled, but he lived, after he repented, he lived the rest of his life for Jesus. What a shame that Judas had so much to offer people, so much of teachings that he could have related of him and the Savior, that he could have told others when Jesus did this or when Jesus did that. What a shame. But they told him, "You see to it," and he did. He threw the silver down, and he went and hanged himself. The last one, the pride of life. Again, pride is not wrong. God wants us to have pride. God wants us to have pride in ourselves. If we can't love ourselves, how can we love others? We had a lesson on that recently. Loving ourselves. God wants us to have pride in His Word. He wants us to have pride in the church. He wants us to have pride in our family. But that's a different kind of pride than that arrogant, sinful pride. That power, the pride we get sometimes when we're in power and in control. That's one of the things that keeps people from turning to Christ sometimes, is what they might have to give up. We look at the scribes and the Pharisees compared to John the Baptist. The scribes could not give up that power, the influence they had. John the Baptist, what did he say? He must increase and I must decrease. Look at what the scribes and Pharisees had to offer the people. Had they just had that attitude, instead of trying to hold on to their social influence of people, that lack of submission boils down to selfishness. That is what God's Word condemns. Let's look at an example of this, and it's Peter. We saw in John 11, then from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. The plot thickens. They just didn't want to seize him. Now they're wanting to put him to death. In John 13, we have the setting of what we refer to as the Last Supper. And as they're sitting there talking, Peter finds out from Jesus, where I'm going, you can't follow right now. You will later, but not right now. And Peter wants to know, in verse 37, Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. I will give my life. I want to stop here for just a moment. There's a difference in giving your life and living your life. I think a lot of us, it would be easy to give my life. It's a momentary issue to give my life for Jesus. God doesn't want us to give our lives. He wants us to live our lives, however long it may take. Giving our lives is over momentarily. Peter demonstrated that he was willing to give his life. Because just a little bit after this, when they're in the garden praying and the mob comes to take Jesus, Peter draws out a sword and is ready to fight a mob. They're outnumbered, and there's a good chance he would have been killed. He's willing to. And here he says, I am willing to lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. The morning's not going to come before you deny me three times. Peter probably thought, Jesus, never me. Maybe one of these other guys, not me. And he did demonstrate just a short time after this that he was willing to fight for him. Jesus was taken away. Peter follows at a distance. And in John 18, verse 17, then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Just a short time before this, Peter was ready to fight a mob, an armed mob. And now he folds to a servant girl. He's ready to fight armed men. But he buckles under the peer pressure, that pride to a servant girl. In verse 25, now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You're not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." Not me. You got me mixed up with somebody else. Guy might look like, not me. I wasn't there. Verse 26, one of the servants of the high priest, the guy who Peter had cut off the ear, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" This servant was there in the garden, saw Peter take out the sword and whack Malchus's ear off. Didn't I just see you recently in the garden? Didn't you cut off a servant's ear? He's a relative of mine. Then Peter denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. That must have broken his heart. To hear the sound of that rooster, and then to think back and remember the words that Jesus said. In Matthew's account, Matthew 26, verse 75, it reads, "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him before the rooster crows, 'You will deny me three times.' So he went out and wept bitterly." Have you ever cried like that? Not just something you see in a movie and you kind of tear up. Not one of those, but one of those where you're sobbing uncontrollably, gasping for air, snot bubbles coming out your nose. One of those uncontrollable, weeping bitterly cries. It broke his heart. This was no worse or different than what Judas had done. Peter very easily could have gone and hung himself. And look at what the world would have been denied had he done that. I just keep thinking about all that Judas had to offer people, like Peter. Peter lived the rest of his life making up for this, atoning for that. And the question that we will leave you with is, what is it that we sell out for? What's our chink in our armor? What's our weakness? Is it the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes? Or is it that boastful, arrogant pride of life? Hopefully this wasn't taken as a condemning, "You're like..." No. But it's something for us to think about. There are three paths of sin. We've seen that from 1 John. Like Paul said, take heed lest you fall. Hopefully we'll be a little bit better armed to go into this week, and maybe not succumb to one of these like other good people did. I know I'm not as strong as Peter, but yet he fell. Judas was an apostle. He fell. If you need to respond to the invitation through prayers, repentance, if you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, don't let another minute go by without responding to God's call. If you're looking for a church home, if you've looked around at a few congregations and would like to worship and work with us here at South Valley, we would love to have you. Whatever your need, please come forward. Let your needs be known while Daryl leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.